Psalms chapter 26. Look in verse 1 with me tonight. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, and therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregation will I bless the Lord. You can be seated tonight. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Heavenly Father, we come to you again. We thank you tonight for the choir singing, for the special singing. I'm glad we're built and founded on the rock tonight. We're not on the sand. But Lord, no matter what comes our way, we know as long as we're on you, we're okay tonight. And Lord, I just pray and ask that you'd help us preach for just a little while. Give us an unction from the Holy One and touch and help tonight. I pray you'd just, Lord, do a work that I cannot do in these folks' hearts. I'm going to do my best to do my job. But Lord, if you'll do the work tonight, it'll get done. Lord, I pray that you'd give us clarity of mind and clarity of speech tonight. And Lord, don't let me do this in myself, but to rely and lean on heaven tonight. Help the one that is lost to get saved. Encourage those that need encouragement. And we'll give you the glory. Save that sinner's nearest tale for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And before I start tonight, can I say what a joy it is to be saved tonight.
Amen.
It is a great joy to know that I've missed hell and got heaven for my home tonight. And I hope that you can say that. I hope that you have heaven in your heart tonight and know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. In Psalms chapter 26 tonight, David says twice in this verse, or in this chapter, in verse 1 and verse 11, he says, I have walked in mine integrity, in verse 1. And in verse 11, he says, I will walk in mine integrity. It is very interesting. When I read this chapter, I thought about how David started out. He asked the Lord, he said, Lord, he said, judge me, Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. If you go to verse 2, he says, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins. How many of us, when we get down to pray and talk to the Lord, and that we tell the God in heaven that already knows about us, Lord, look into our life and look in here and judge me and examine what's on the inside. That's a pretty big statement right there that David is making. He said, Lord, look into my life and see that I have walked in mine integrity and that I've kept your truth. Would to God tonight that me and you would be able to look up to heaven and say, Lord, you know that I've done my best to serve you, that I've trusted you, and I've followed you all these years, and that we could look up and say, God, judge me and examine me, and you'll not find anything there. I'd like to be like David tonight and be able to say that I'm walking in mine integrity and that I will walk and integrity tonight. By the way, that's what I want to preach on. It's simply keeping your integrity. Well, what does that mean to have integrity or to keep integrity? That word integrity, first of all, means wholeness or entireness or impurity or to be genuine. I like being around genuine people, don't you, tonight? In other words, I just like being around real people. I like being around folk that are real. I don't have to wonder what they're thinking. I don't have to wonder if they go home and live another way or they're putting on something in front of me. I just like being around folk that are real and genuine. That word integrity means moral soundness or honesty or freedom from corrupt influences or a corrupt motive tonight. I think most of us tonight understand what integrity means. Psalms chapter 25, the psalmist said, "Let integrity and uprightness preserve me." It's talking about living upright. When we're talking about having integrity, it's talking about living right and doing and being who and what we say that we are tonight. And I think we can look in Psalms chapter 26 and find how to walk and how to keep our integrity. Now, by the way, if you'll look right here, he said, "I walked in mine integrity." But then he said this in verse 1, "I have trusted also in the Lord." As I preach tonight, you cannot keep your integrity without trusting the Lord tonight. You're going to have to trust Him and put your faith in Him and find your help in Him, and He will do that. Four things real quick tonight. We'll go home and eat supper. Number one, first of all, let me say, to keep your integrity, you got to be careful where you see it. Look in verses 4 and 5 tonight. Notice what He said, "I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked." So first of all, he says, "Lord, I'm not going to go sit with folk that are against you." Notice that he said right here that he talks about vain persons, disassemblers. Those are those that are pretenders or hypocritical in their life, and evildoers and the wicked. You remember what I said a few minutes ago? I like being around folk that are real. I don't want to be around somebody that's hypocritical. I don't want to be around somebody, a friend that hates God. Hey, can I say tonight that in keeping our integrity, that we can't sit and that with a scornful. Tonight, what was it? Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1 where he said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." What does it mean to be a scorner or to be scornful? It's one that has contempt or an act of defiance or has disregard. God, there's a lot of folk like that tonight. They're sitting on church pews, but yet they scorn and scoff at the Word of God. They scorn and they scoff at the preacher. Can I tell you tonight, I'm not your enemy. Amen. Thank you. I appreciate that. Y'all do believe that, don't you, tonight? I'm not your enemy. I mean, what was it? Paul asked the church over there in Galatia, "Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" A lot of people think that I'm their enemy. I'm not your enemy, friend. Hey, I'm just trying to help you. But he said not to sit in the seat of the scornful. You want to keep your integrity? You stay away from the scorner. You stay away from the one who disregards God's Word and wants nothing to do and always scoffs at it and always wants to correct it. I can't stand a Bible corrector. Amen. I can't stand them. I really can't. I believe in a King James Bible. I believe He's gave us the perfect Word of God. I'm either smart enough or ignorant enough or dumb enough, however how you want to look at it, to believe this book tonight. Amen. Depends what side you fall out on, whether I'm dumb or smart tonight. But the scorner. The Bible said in Proverbs 13 that a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. He says that wise son will hear, but that scorner will not. You can try to convince, hey, I'm not about walking in your integrity. I'm not about walking in the truth tonight and walking in truthfulness and walking in wholeness and soundness and being genuine tonight. Being a genuine Christian. A real Christian. I guess I could have titled it that tonight. He said, "Cast out the scorner and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease." He said, you get rid of the scorner and all that strife will go away. Somebody that has disregard. Don't sit in that seat tonight. Don't sit with sinners. You can go back and we can look at the text verse, and that's what these people are tonight. What did he say? "I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked." He said, "I'll not go where sinners are." Well, if you want to keep your integrity, you don't need to go where sinners are either.
I don't need to go where sinners are. And fellowship, hey, if you want to go try and win them, that's fine. But we can't sit and be just like they are tonight. People want to go and be just like the world and try to win them, and you'll never do it, friend. They'll win you every time. Take your Bible tonight and go to the book of Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs 9 and look in verse 13. Proverbs 9 and verse 13. One page too far here. Proverbs 9 verse 13. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. You better be careful where you find yourself sitting at. You remember the song that we teach these young, or at least I was taught it. I assume some of these Sunday school teachers are still teaching it to these little ones running around here at times. Be careful little hands what you do, and be careful little eyes what you see, and be careful little ears what you hear, and be careful little feet where you go, and all these things. And that's what he's trying to warn about right here. And so he says right here, this foolish woman is clamorous, and she is sitting at the door of her house. I'm talking about, be careful where you sit at. And she's simple and she's clamorous. She's running off at the mouth and always talking. I love to talk. My wife does not love to talk. Have y'all figured that out in 20 years, 20 and a half years? We're a good pair. I do all the talking. She does all the listening. Amen. Is that the way it works at your house, Brother Chad? Amen. Amen. She does all the talking. I had a feeling. You put me and my sister-in-law and my mother-in-law together, and we do all the talking, and you put my brother-in-law and my wife and my father-in-law together in the room, and they'd never say a word between them. That's just how it is. You know, you put my sister-in-law and my mother-in-law and me together, and we can't get enough talking done, that's for sure. But listen right here, notice he talks about something about her. She's clamorous, but she's simple and she knows nothing. And listen, let me ask you now, is that who you want to sit with? Is that who you want to be around? Is somebody that is foolish and simple and knowing nothing? And those that are simple and who lack understanding, the Bible said right here, they are the ones that turn in to her. But see, what they don't understand is that they're fixing to be in trouble. It talks about the sin that they commit. Stolen waters are sweet and bread eaten is secret is pleasant. That thing that seems that you should not do. Those things that are done in secret. That sin that is committed in secret. It just seems like it's a grand thing. And that to commit, I mean, it's stolen waters are sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Can I tell you something tonight, church? Sin will always find you out. I tell you what Numbers chapter 32 says over there. What was it? Be sure that your sin will find you out. It always finds you out. You can't sin and get by it. I can't either. Amen. It'll always get you every time. You can do those things that are done in secret. But notice what verse 18 said. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. It almost reminds you of Proverbs chapter 7 with the strange woman over there. That by the time he realizes what's going on, that it's like a dart to the liver. You know, and as a fowler that takes, you know, that snares that bird, you know, it's a trap. And before you realize what's happened, you're already caught. They're already in the depths of hell. You start sitting with sinners, they're going to get you trapped. The Bible warns us about that in Proverbs chapter 1, to go not after their way over there. What about the prideful? You can go to Revelation chapter 18. I'll go there. You don't have to go. But Revelation chapter 18, when it's talking about Babylon the Great. And you know how they're sitting over there. The Bible talks about Babylon the Great is sitting as a
as a queen. And in verse 7, it says how much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I said, a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine. And she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Notice how they were. Notice how Babylon the Great was. They were very prideful, wasn't they? You better be careful about getting around the prideful. You know, the scorner wants nothing to do with the Lord, but the prideful always has something to do with herself. They always want to tell you what they can do and what they have done. Can I tell you tonight, anything that's ever been accomplished in my life, in the ministry, yes, I have tried to obey the Lord, but it's all been because of His touch tonight and nothing else. It's all begin because the Lord blessed it. Hey, I listen tonight. There's nothing good in me, and I realize that tonight, other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank Him for that. You better be careful about sitting around. You better be careful about sitting around the prideful tonight and sitting in that seat. I would say this applies more to young people than it does to older people, but I'm going to be honest with you now. We all need it. Amen. How to live, how to remain in your integrity. You better be careful where you sit. Then notice right here what He says. It's going to get a little better. He talks about the sinners right here. And then He said in verse 7, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. You want to walk in your integrity, be careful where you say it, but then be careful what you say. Be careful what you say. You know what He said right here? What did He say? He said that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Now, I'm telling you now, we ought to just talk about good things. Why is it we like to talk about bad things? You don't like to talk about bad things, do you? You surely don't like to talk about bad things and talk about all the bad things that folk have fell into and all the problems that. And then especially tell somebody else tonight. That would be gossiping, wouldn't it? We wouldn't want to do that. Listen tonight, if we want to walk in our integrity, we ought to have good speech tonight. We ought to just have real good speech. We ought to have enough God in us tonight, and that to know to stay away from sinners and to stay away from pridefulness and to stay away from scorners, but then to have good speech. David said, I just want to talk about you. I want to tell about the good things that you've done. When's the last time, you know, Sister Brenda come in this morning and she was so excited to tell about what God had done for her and helped her, she couldn't even wait to tell it before Sunday school. So she just told it. Amen. I like that. I like it when folk are so excited about how God's helped them that they just want to talk about Him for a little while. Amen. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 4, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. He said down in the book of Colossians, he said in Colossians 4, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. You want to keep your integrity and remain in your integrity? Have good speech. Don't have bad words. And don't talk bad. Just have good speech. Proverbs chapter 16 said we ought to have pleasant words. We ought to be pleasant words. Proverbs chapter 25 said a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. I remember preaching that on a Wednesday night years ago. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. You know, we ought to just have appropriate words, shouldn't we? I always worry about that church. When I go to the funeral home, I always, or somebody's in trouble or somebody needs some help, I struggle so much for words. I, as much as I like to talk, I struggle during times like that to have an appropriate words to have. To be a comfort to somebody and to be a help to somebody. I want to walk in my integrity and have the Lord pleased with me. Gracious words. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. The Bible said in the book of Ecclesiastes. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4 said to have comforting words. We ought to have pure words that we talk about. We ought to have positive words. What do you mean positive words? Say, are you all the time positive? No, I'll just be honest with you. I'm not all the time positive, but I ain't negative either. I'm neither pessimistic nor optimistic. I guess I'm just a realist. Fall right in the middle there somewhere along the way. But you know what? There's one thing that I've learned about saying is we need to be positive about what God can do in our life tonight. You ever just seen somebody that goes around all the time? They're going around all the time, just woe is me, and they've got mother grubs, and they're like Eeyore, you know, on Winnie the Pooh, you know. I mean, it's always a problem, one right after another. Why is he saying, always happened to me? Can I tell you my life, out of all the trouble that we've had, and we've not had a lot of trouble over the years, that for me to say, why do these things always happen to me, would be a lie. There's a lot of people, now I'm talking about safe folk, there's a lot of safe folk out there that's got things a whole lot worse than me and my wife has it tonight. Now things may be bad tomorrow, I don't know how it's going to go, but I'm telling you tonight that I'm positive about what God can do and will do in my life as long as I keep trusting and following Him tonight.
Amen.
I want to be positive. I don't preach and it's two-thirds of negative, I understand that. Preach the word, be in season, in season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Reproving and rebuking, I sometimes just ain't that positive, is it? But it's positive if folk will take it, and if I'll take it. Philippians chapter 4, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Sometimes you need to say that and remember that through the day. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Psalm chapter 56, the psalmist said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. That's pretty positive tonight, ain't it? Pretty positive tonight. Be positive in the things that we say, and then be positive in the things that we say, and then do them. And what I mean be positive there is don't say one thing and do something else. We come back to be like that disassembler. That's hypocritical, ain't it, tonight? If I'm going to tell you I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to take my horn tonight, but I'm going to tell you this story right here so that you'll understand. Years ago when I was wiring houses for myself, when I was working for myself, I wired one over here in the middle of Athens. And it was a big house. Man, that thing was a monster of a house. And we worked and worked and worked to get that thing done. And at the end of it all, when she was cutting me the last check, the lady was writing me the check, she said, Mark, she said, I'm going to write you this check for more than what you want. I said, why? She said, because you're the only one who did what they said they were going to do. You're the only contractor that showed up and done exactly what you said you were going to do. And she wrote me more. It wasn't a whole lot more, but she wrote me more on that end check than what was due. Because I'd done what I was supposed to do. I think that's a pretty good way to live, don't you?
Amen.
I mean, do what you say you're going to do. And I mean, just say what you're going to do and then go do it. I'm talking about walking and living in your integrity tonight before the Lord. You see, not only does everybody else see this, but God sees this. God sees how you're walking. God sees how you're talking. I think our speech ought to be pure, but it ought to be powerful tonight. You know, when Paul talked about 2 Corinthians 10, he said, for his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech is contemptible. He said, when he writes to us, he's got weight and power behind him. You realize there's power in the gospel tonight. You give the gospel, and I'll guarantee you there's power in that thing. How do you know that? Romans said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You give the gospel. Hey, it's not us doing the work. It's God's work. We're just trying to give out the gospel to sinners tonight that they might get saved. And God will do that. I'm talking about our speech tonight. You know, I can stand up here and preach and preach and preach and preach and preach and preach, but until God does something in your heart with it, if God will touch what I have to say, it'll work tonight with power. It'll work. I think we ought to have some power in our speech. I like to carry on with a bunch of food, well, with some foolishness sometimes and nonsense and carry on. You know, there's a time for all that, but it ain't all the time. There's a time to get grave. There's a time to get serious about things. And there's a time to have some power in our speech when we're talking tonight with the help of God tonight. The message we carry is so powerful tonight
We were to be carrying it out to a lost and dying world and warning them that Jesus is coming, but yet He died for them so that they could get saved and go to heaven, have their sins forgiven. Notice what He said in Psalms chapter 26. Come on down through here. Let's see if we can find it right here. He said, Lord, I have loved the habitation of Thy house in the place where Thine honor dwelleth. Not only do you need to be careful where you sit, and not only do you need to be careful with your speech, then be careful where you stay. Notice He wanted to stay in God's house. He wanted to remain faithful and that to God's house, to where the power of God was and the presence of God was. Can I tell you now? Well, I preached on morale last Sunday morning. I was preaching on our excitement and our joy or our discouragement and our disappointments along the way. Can I tell you tonight, when you're discouraged in your heart, when you're discouraged in serving God, when God just ain't moving, or there's problems or there's trials in front of you and you get discouraged, if you want to remain in your integrity, just stay where you need to be at tonight. You know, is it in the book of Acts? You remember John Mark went home. The Bible don't really tell us why John Mark went home. But we know that Paul and Barnabas was on the mission trip and John Mark went home. He didn't stay on the mission trip. Elijah, in 1 Kings chapter 19, where did he end up at? He ended up under the juniper tree. Why? He got discouraged, didn't he? A lot of times, hey, listen, I understand we get discouraged. You're looking at a fellow that's been discouraged in his life before. Listen, and it'll make you want to quit. It'll make you want to give up. Hey, I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm going to be straight with you. Now, church, some of you have heard me make this statement before. There's been times that I've just talked about getting my work bag and just going back to work. And just going back to being a full-time electrician somewhere, and I could work Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday and not worry about anything. Don't have to worry about it, and I can just go on. But I really don't think that's what God wants. You ever just seen folk get so disappointed and so discouraged that they just quit? I have. And they just quit. Sometimes circumstances from the outside, it come on the inside, if I can say that, and it just drives them away, and that from God. Can I tell you, when others get away from God, you remain where you belong at. When folk are drifting away from God, what was it David said over there? He said, help Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, how for the faithful fail from among the children of men. He said, Lord, there's nobody else around. Elijah said the same thing over there out of the cave. He said, Lord, I've been jealous for you, and I'm the only one that's left trying to do what's right. You look at friends and family, and they quit on God. You want to remain in your integrity, then you just need to stay where you belong at. There's a lot of people just give up. When others are drifting away and quitting, don't you drift away and quit. Don't give it up. You want to remain in it. Look what he said. He said, oh Lord, he said, judge me, oh Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. And I have also trusted in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. He said in verse 11, but as for me, I walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. Lord, I'm going to do what I've said. I'm going to do. I thought about Sister Jennifer right here as I was studying this. How that the Lord woke her up. You weren't here on a Wednesday night. She can tell you that story sometimes. She testified to this on a Wednesday night after her sister had passed away. And God woke her up and reminded her of what she had said, that she would even praise Him in the bad times. Right? Am I telling that right, sis? Okay, just making sure. You know, if we're going to walk in our integrity, we're going to have to praise Him in the bad times. I mean, we're not going to want to sometimes, and we're not going to feel like it. And sometimes it's hard to do. I heard a fellow say one time, he said, I've been going, his 16-year-old boy had got in a car wreck. And somebody called him and said that his boy had been in that car wreck, and he was headed down there to the wreck site. And he said this, he said, Lord, as he was heading down there, he's praying. He says, about midnight.
And then as she's headed down to the car wreck, he said, Lord, I've been going all over this country and popping off and telling folk that when bad times come, don't act like a pagan. Give you glory for all things. And he said, Lord, I'm headed down here to this car wreck. And he said, whatever I find down here, you help me not to act like a pagan and give you glory for all things. That's a hard statement. That's a hard statement to make, let alone a hard statement to do sometimes. I don't know how we got there, but ain't that good. Amen. When we become discouraged, and when others are drifting away, and our faith gets weak, and we doubt, just remain faithful. Just remain faithful. Stay where you need to stay, and be there. Stay serving God. Last of all, look in verse 12. He said, my foot standeth in an even place. You want to remain in your integrity and stand where you need to stand. You stand with God in the precepts of His Word. You stand with good men and godly men. You learn something from them. You know, I've learned so much being around good men and godly men and good women and godly women. Man, I love being around folk like that. For two reasons. One, I'll get under conviction sometimes. You ever been around people that, and it just brings conviction to your life just to be around them? I mean, God's just dripping off of them. I mean, it's just dripping off. And man, I'm just going to be honest with you. I get convicted just being around them. Because I'm looking at their life, and man, this thing's real. I remember some of the first times as I was a teenager ever really talking to men that knew the Bible and wasn't a preacher. That kind of just blowed my mind. I thought only preachers knew the Bible. Everybody else is supposed to be ignorant, I guess. I don't know. That's just what I thought. Like I told you, you don't have to be a theologian, but you ought to know the Bible. Amen. Amen. You ought to know it. You ought to read it and love it and study it. Listen, God ain't going to give me something that He ain't going to give you too. Amen. But you ought to stand. Stand around good men and good women and godly women. And he said, my foot standeth in an even place. You want to walk in your integrity? Get around good men and godly men. 2 Timothy chapter 2, he said, in the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, that's just all we're trying to do around here. We're just trying to raise up men and women that can just carry on this thing. Now, I'll be honest with you, I think the Lord's coming back soon.
Amen.
I think He's coming. But if I'm wrong, I want this thing to keep going. I want it to keep going. I don't want it to. You say, preacher, it'll keep going. Listen, they're closing church doors every day. Bible-believing churches are closing her up. Just don't seem to be a whole lot of people concerned about the fundamentals of God's Word and the truth of God's Word and holy living tonight. Titus chapter 2, he said, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You were to stand with good men and godly men, good and godly women tonight, and get around them. Stand and help support them. And you know what? When you stand around them, they'll help support you. I like that tonight. I like having good friends that love God. He said, my foot standeth in an even place. I think we ought to stand girded with the armor of God tonight. What was it he said in Ephesians 6? He said, having therefore done all to stand, stand therefore. He teaches us how to stand, what to stand with. And that was with the armor of God. Listen, if you want to walk in your integrity, then sit in the right place and say the right thing. Right? Say the right things. Stand in the right place. Stay in the right place. If we're going to walk in our integrity, if we're going to be in our integrity, that's what we're going to have to do tonight. Let's bow our heads tonight across the house.